Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. We got a... I love a lamentful text. And this is from Jim in Appleton from the 920 says, I have the dubious privilege of sharing a birthday with Richard Milhouse Nixon. Jim, you know, he was still a president. And look, you know, the Simpsons, look at it this way, glass half full. If Richard Nixon never becomes president, we probably don't know the character Milhouse in the Simpsons. So rejoice on your birthday, Jim. I think that's pretty cool. So, all right, we're going to turn to sports for a little bit. There's a lot going on in the state of Wisconsin between the Bucks, the Brewers kicking off their season, and Marquette. And we're going to talk about all of this with my favorite sports reporter, Mike Clemens, who joins us now. Hey, Mike.
When Richard Nixon was in the White House,
yeah,
he used to send offensive plays to George Allen and the Washington team. Like, maybe you should run this one.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
You know, and what's George Allen goes, okay, Mr. President, yeah, we'll try and slip that one in there for you. Yeah.
Mike, our question tonight, one of them is, if you had to streak, where would you streak? Have you ever been at a sporting event where there was a streaker?
Yeah. A couple times. One recently, if I remember correctly, with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Where would I streak?
yeah, sure. If you had to.
The biggest crowd possible, man. You know, 4th of July parade.
Wear it loud, wear it proud. I like it.
On the other thing, though, you know, you don't want to get tackled by the police or security on the asphalt.
Yeah, that would be rough.
You know, yeah, maybe during a game. Maybe that's it. You know, it's just...
Maybe a nice grass
probably
field.
Natural grass instead of turf so you don't get burns.
Indeed. Beach volleyball. Get tackled on the beach. That would work.
Right, right.
All right, fair enough. So, all right, very good. So, Mike, where do you want to start? The Brewers open tomorrow instead of today now. That was unfortunate, but that happens a lot with opening day. It's still pretty cold or bad weather.
Well, I'm monitoring the Bucks game right now. They're in New Orleans losing 61-45 to the Pelicans, and they just went to the half. You know, the Milwaukee Bucks are supposed to be a team that's going to get to the finals this year, at least.
Yeah.
Remember last summer in August when Giannis Antetokounmpo was kind of sitting out till September about, because there was a little extension. There was some paperwork that they needed him to sign.
Right.
And then he did a couple of interviews with, like, the New York Times and just said, I'm not saying things aren't great in Milwaukee, but I just want to know, let everyone know, wherever I am, if I get a whiff that somebody, one person in the building, is not all in and doing everything they can to help win, then I'm moving on, because that's what I expect from myself and my teammates and my coaches and whatnot. And, you know, there's no shortcuts to winning. It's hard to win. And I want to win some more championships, and that's what I demand from leadership. Well, the next thing you know, they get on the phone, and they make this tremendous trade for Damian Lillard, which Drew Holiday ends up going to Portland and then bouncing out to Boston. And now here we are with 10 games left in the season. And did you see that game recently when the Celtics came to Milwaukee and beat the Bucks? And that's your door you're going to have to get through if you think you're going to represent the Eastern Conference. And the Celtics, you know, have beat them 2 out of 3 games this year.
Right.
Two of them were in Boston. There was one time the Celtics came here about a month or two ago. They had a long game the night before. Then they flew into Milwaukee. They just got blown out in the first half. And so their coach just benched them at halftime. Like, just sit down. You're tired. I don't want anybody to get hurt. And I want you to watch this now, okay? Watch your backups play and see what they do. And, you know, the Bucks easily won that game. It turned into like a forfeit. But the next time that those teams met in Milwaukee, Boston beat them and led by 10, 12 points, solid, you know, and Jason Tatum, you know, was bringing the team down in the first half, passing it around, and in total control of the game. And one of the writers from Boston was sitting next to me. Really interesting guy. His name is Mike. He's actually from Milwaukee and quietly a Bucks fan. Grew up watching the Bucks. Huh. He said, Boston is a very analytics team. Like, they totally believe in the three-point shot. That's the most efficient thing. And they've got this great lineup, you know, of players like, you know, Porzingis and White and even Drew Holiday. So, you know, they're gonna go behind the three-point line and put it up. So if they're off, then you might be able to catch them. And he said they're not a team that plays with hard or hard inside, like the Raptors did a couple of years ago. Like the Heat came out of nowhere and beat, you know, the Bucks last year in that series. He said so the Celtics have to figure that out. But other than that, statistically, no one's going to touch them in the Eastern Conference. And so the Bucks have got only 10 games left to figure out how they're going to match that. And right now they're losing in New Orleans to the Pelicans. That double overtime the other night was a mess. They had a great game against a young, fast, talented Thunder team at Fiserv Forum. And then they got like a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter. And then Austin Reeves just takes off for the Lakers with a triple-double, like 29 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists. D'Angelo Russell got things started for L.A., and LeBron is watching this game on the sidelines. He's, you know, he's been dealing with a really sore ankle for weeks now, months. Yeah. And you couldn't knock off the Lakers, man. So, you know.
How do they match up against the Celtics, Mike? If it comes to that, you know?
Yeah. I don't know what buttons Doc Rivers has to push.
Yeah.
Because he has transformed a team that was just run and gun last fall to one that passes the ball around and takes higher percentage shots and can control a game better and play better defense. But sometimes they can't find that switch. They lose the rhythm and they just go back to taking bad shots and you know, letting games that they should have slip away. Here's the other breaking story. You just heard that in my update about Pat Beverly,
yeah,
who they traded, you know, with the 76ers about a month ago. Now he's 34, 35, but he's been great on defense.
Yeah.
Man, they bring him in. He looks like a kid, 23 years old. He gets into that point guard's face and is all over him. So he's great for defense. Sunday night before the Thunder game, he's warming up, and all of a sudden, like, something tweaks in his right wrist in his shooting hand. So I go, oh, whatever. So he played in the game, but it was really sore for him, has it x-rayed, and the doctor tells him on Tuesday, yeah, you've got torn ligaments. We're looking at surgery. You're going to be out 3 or 4 months. So he says that on his podcast, and then like an hour before the game tonight, he announces, yeah, you know what, I'm going to play with it. So he was just out there trying to take a shot and guarding. So, you know, and Doc Rivers is shrugging his shoulders like, I guess I got to listen to his podcast to find out what his status is.
Well, that's how we get our information these days, Mike.
I've got one other great book story for you.
Oh, yeah. And that's it. Please.
We don't have as much access to NBA players as we used to coming out of COVID. They have different tier levels for reporters. But we did have access to the locker room the other night. And it's not like the old days where you kind of hung around. You could just talk basketball, life, restaurants, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, music with these guys. But whatever. We're having some, you know, really good conversations with all the guys. All the guys are giving us some great quotes and conversations. And so we're talking to Damian Lillard. We're talking to Bobby Portis. We're talking to three or four players we're having great conversations with. And meanwhile, Giannis is still sitting at his locker. Both knees are taped up with bags of ice. Both feet are soaking in buckets of total ice water. The ankles. He's soaking the ankles. And it's not like he's in bad shape or, you know, like LeBron's age where he's like 20.
Right.
The fact is, as I looked at that, all these other guys are dressed and about to get out the door. It's like, this is what Giannis does. If the doctors, if the trainers tell him, dude, you should ice down after every game to do everything you can to be ready for the next game and inflammation, he does it, and he's sitting there with these bags of ice and these buckets of ice on his feet. And then all of a sudden, after about 20 minutes after the game, the alarm on his phone goes off, and he gets out the scissors, cuts off all that stuff, pulls his feet and dries them off out of the buckets of water, puts on his socks, stands up and says, okay, guys, now I'll talk to you. that's the difference between Giannis and the other players.
And that's why you don't mind paying him either. I mean, not just for his results on the court, but when you see a guy that dedicated, that's really impressive.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's going on.
My guest is Mike Clemens. He is giving us an update on the Bucks. We're going to talk a little Marquette and some Brewers. Always great to have you here, Mike. So how do you, looking forward to the baseball season here, what is your prediction for the Brewers this year? Middle of the pack, upper middle class? What are we thinking?
Yeah, I think middle of the pack.
Yeah.
You know, Pat Murphy, longtime veteran baseball guy, manager, but and he's been an interim manager with the Padres, but, you know, he takes over at Skipper at 65 years old. He's got tough shoes to fill because I thought Craig Counsell, you know, did something with very little the last couple of years, just absolutely amazing with some of his moves and substitutions and in-game management. So we'll see where that goes. But, I mean, poor Pat, man. I mean, the news just keeps on getting worse for him. First of all, Garrett Mitchell is this guy with all this promise who last year in April was sliding into third and jacked up his shoulders, labrum, missed most of the season. Then the other day he's out there at spring training and he cracks a finger. He's going to be out for several weeks. They just put him on the 10-day injured list. And then they got these other, like pitchers like Taylor Clark. He's got a meniscus tear. The veteran Wade Miley, a left-hander, left shoulder problems. Another lefty that they didn't make the roster, but they thought they were going to bring in. He's got a shoulder problem as well. And then Devin Williams, your closer, he's sitting out until May or June because they found the reason he had a sore back toward the end of last September was fractures in his spine. Two fractures.
Good Lord.
Stress fractures. So, you know, come on, man.
Not a good way. Yeah,
they got a lot of good young bats on this team.
Yeah.
But, you know, you need all the help you can get. You lost six or seven veterans that you picked up, you know, through trades and last-minute deals last September. Very young team. You need all the experience you can get.
Absolutely. That is the voice of Mike Clemens. We'll be right back with more. We're going to ask Mike about Marquette, who plays tomorrow against NC State on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Greg Bach will join me. He is also a comedian, a Milwaukee-based comedian. So we'll talk a little comedy with Greg. That's coming up in just a few minutes. We got a few more minutes here with Civic Media sports guru Mike Clemens. Mike, I appreciate you hanging around. I'd love to touch base on the Packers owner at the owners' meetings this week. And Marquette, so whatever order you want to do this, let's hear what you got. I guess you got a funny story for us about Mark Murphy.
Yeah, well, first of the Marquette game, you know, Tyler Kolek getting it back, and he just, you know, he did a tremendous job. After coming back with this torn oblique, restrained oblique, they suffered toward the end of the season, missed several games there. He comes back with 15 points and, you know, pick and roll sets up to get past Colorado. Just the leader that he is, 21 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists to get past Colorado and to advance. Now they get this game against NC State. It's at 6:09 is the tip-off time tomorrow night from Dallas. And the thing that just impresses me overall about that team is Shaka Smart and how
he's great,
how well he uses his players in games. And there was this one play during the Big East tournament where there was 2.5 seconds left. 2.5 seconds left. And they had possession of the ball at the opposite end of the court. And he came up with a play where it's like, look, throw to this guy in the middle of the court, and we have a timeout. So as soon as you catch it, call timeout. They executed. They took like 1/10 of a second off. Now they could inbound from, you know, mid-court, and they almost pulled off a win with a play underneath the basket with two passes in 2.5 seconds. I mean, perfect execution, brilliant calls, brilliant ideas, and they're doing this in 2.5 seconds, and I, you know, you don't see Greg Gard doing that.
No.
up from Wisconsin. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what other bunnies that Shaka Smart can pull out of his hat as they go from the Sweet 16 and hopefully to the Elite Eight.
He's a great coach. I hope he doesn't leave. He's such a good coach.
You know one of his biggest fans is? It's Doc Rivers.
Oh, really?
He's known him over the years. You know, he calls him after every game, and Doc is like, he'll finish a Bucks game, and if Marquette's on, he'll go straight to his office and, you know, he'll like hold up his hands. Like, hang on a second, guys. I'll be right with you. I got to go watch the rest of this Marquette game. And he goes and watches the rest of the Marquette game. And then he comes in and gives us a breakdown on what he saw from the Golden Eagles, you know, because, of course, he's an alum there from the 80s.
We had Todd Townsend on the show last night, who was part of the 03 Final Four team. And it was cool, Mike. He was talking about how the guys on his team, even like Dwayne Wade and Diener and all those guys, he said from walk-ons all the way up to Dwayne Wade, they still text during Marquette tournament games. It was just such a great community there. And so that doesn't surprise me, I guess, what you're saying about Doc Rivers and Shaka Smart. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So they should be able to get by past NC State. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. But what did you were you down at the owners' meetings in Florida, Mike?
No. You know something? I'm still kind of getting used to the 17-game season, and then the Packers two games in the postseason. And, you know, I still cover the Super Bowl, so I was gone there. Then I was at the Combine, and I thought, oh, yeah, the NFL meters, that's coming up faster than I usually thought. I got online, and I could not get a ticket from Milwaukee to Orlando for less than $1,000.
Oh, my gosh.
But then I thought, well, what is that? Well, it's spring break, dummy. You know? I mean, you should have booked this 6-7 months ago. So
you got enough to cover around here, too, though, I'm sure, you know.
Not quite for the budget. But, so the owners meet, and I don't know what the deal is, but have you seen examples of this XFL style of kickoff that they're going to
implement? I've heard it described. I'm having trouble picturing it, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about on the radio, except, you know, you've got a receiving team. Guys are all lined up on a single line. They're not like spread out.
Yeah.
They're at the 35. The kickoff team is like 10 yards away. So when you look at the field, the kicker's way back there by himself at the back of the field, and all of his, you know, 10 defenders are lined up 10 yards on the opposite end of the field, you know, crossing the 50. So the ball goes up, and the receiver catches it. Now the receiver, you know, almost looks like a wildcat play once he catches the ball, you know. But what it cuts down in is guys running 40 yards and then hitting something,
right,
you know, like that. It cuts that down, so it hopefully reduces neck injuries. They keep saying that it's a really bad play and stats wise and whatnot, and it never feels that way. But and it's supposed to be a trial thing. Mark Murphy, there was three teams that voted against him, and the Packers were one of it, because Murphy said, why can't we just make this a trial thing in the preseason and see how it goes rather than commit to the whole season with it? But that's what they're doing there, and they're going along with that.
Because they're doing 1 year, right?
The other thing we're waiting to find out is, of course, Roger Goodell, who's up to making $60 million a year now as the commissioner. Listen, you can't argue if you're an owner.
No.
You want Roger to get you revenue, and in order to get revenue, you got to get ratings. They just put on a Super Bowl in Las Vegas that drew more viewers than watching Neil and Buzz on the Moon for Apollo 11. 123.4 million people watched this last Super Bowl.
That's
so
insane.
Business is better than ever before for the NFL. And yet, we still want to branch out. So, you know, we've done London, we've done Germany, we've done Mexico, and now they want to play a game in Brazil. And the Eagles, they know that was going to be the one team there. This would be the week one, the season opener in Brazil. And it's down to two teams, either the Cleveland Browns or the Green Bay Packers.
Mm.
So Mark Murphy's like, well, you know, we, we understand what the league wants to do with the international games, and we're all behind that. And it's like, really? Really? And, you know, there's a lot of things Green Bay had to do to get the NFL to agree to do the draft in Green Bay next year, you know, and,
really?
And to get him while Murphy was, you know, still in charge because he'll be retiring a year from now. But one of the things that Murphy said that made me laugh, he says, you know, though, we've been looking at the Brazil trip, and he said, the runways at the Green Bay Airport, Austin Straubel Airport, aren't long enough for a plane to go direct from Green Bay to Brazil. So that means we'd have to put all our guys on a bus, and we'd have to bus them down to Milwaukee or Chicago to catch a plane with a long enough runway so that we can make our way to Brazil, which is like, now I know that they have to be sensitive about these athletes and how long they're on a plane or how long their travel time is. But I mean, come on, man. You know?
I know. That's part of the charm anyway of Green Bay. It makes for a great story.
Yeah, our runways aren't long enough. I don't know if we can make it to Brazil, man.
Still better than Greyhound. Come on. Quit your whining.
Mike,
thank you. Go ahead, buddy.
No, it's just they haven't heard of connecting flights, apparently.
Right. As always, buddy, appreciate your time. Thanks for keeping us informed, and keep up the great work.
Anytime, Pete. Appreciate it. Thank
okay,
you,
buddy.
Bro.
See, that's Mike Clemens. Man, we covered a lot of ground with Mike Conrad.
Yeah.
He's all over the place. I don't know how he does it. He just doesn't sleep, I guess. All right, so I am very excited. We're going to talk a little comedy. Coming up next with Greg Bach. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who. Often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone. Solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably gonna.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this birthday extravaganza. It went from me not ready to say anything to Conrad playing barking dogs in the form of happy birthday. Now I can't stop talking about my birthday, so it's okay. Great to have you with me tomorrow night on the program. Director, musician, producer Wendy Schneider will be here. Wendy made a film a few years ago called The Smart Studios with Butch Vig and Steve Marker. I was lucky enough to interview her on PBS. She's a great interview. She has a new film. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night. And Todd Michaels will be here. Paranormal Activities investigator Todd Michaels will be here. He is also the Mino and the Mayor morning show producer. There is nothing Todd can't do. And he was here a few months ago. He talked about, that was a really fun discussion when Todd was here.
Did you watch the show that?
I did. Yes,
it was very interesting. I usually don't like horror, but it was interesting.
He was great. And they're fun. I love talking about that stuff. I still don't know where I stand on it, but I love talking to people that are into it. But right now, I'm very excited about this next guest because he has a comedy background similar to mine, and he is the co-host of Matt Nair on Air here at Civic Media. Greg Bach joins us now. Hey, Greg.
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
You said that like a comic would say that, where he's addressing 300 people, and it's just me and Conrad. And of course, the listeners. But great to have you here, Greg. We're doing great.
I don't know if you've been to the shows I've done, Pete, but it's not 300. I count the staff?
Okay, good. They're taking care of you anyway. So you've done shows more recently than me. So I applaud you for that. So I don't even know where to start with you, Greg. I'm excited to talk some stand up. I'm excited. Let's get the business out of the way. And what fun business it is, because you are Jane's co-host now. How is that going? It's such a great show you guys have.
It's going great. We're having a really fun time. I mean, we get along so well. And I said to Jane months ago, I said, I couldn't imagine doing this and like not getting along. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
And she said to me, she said, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I've done a lot of shows where I don't like the people I work with. I'm like, I don't get it. But we just have a great time. We cover the news. We don't keep it light, but we also we pay respect to the things that need respect. But we also have a good time as well on the show. And it's just a blast. I have a blast with her.
She's a total pro because I got to be honest. She's been bad mouthing you for months, but she keeps it on the down low. And I think that's what's important.
Who do you think wrote those digs, baby?
So if you have not listened to Matt and Air on Air yet with Greg as the co-host, check it out. You guys add elements of humor and it's such insightful stuff with some pop culture, politics. You really kind of cover it all, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everything we talk about are the things that interest us, you know, and it runs the gamut from, you know, the goings on in Madison in the state house to, hey, there's a bird rescue in the city of Waukesha. Let's have someone come on, bring some birds on. You know, you know, we just look through the news. We kind of just talk about it. We're like, hey, let's have this person on. We have a good time. It's really fun.
That's great. One more thing I'll say about Jane. If you have a voice like that, you have to be in radio.
Oh, I know.
She
right?
has the best voice ever.
And anytime I have to record something for her, like when you're doing a promo, she knocks it out in the first take because she's like, I've been doing this a while. I'm like, all right.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So, Greg, I knew you kind of came from a comedy background, but it wasn't until recently. Yeah. I didn't know how entrenched you were. Like, you're a stand-up. You own a club in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, I'm a co-owner of the Laughing Tap. We're in the thing here on the live stream right now. It's the city of Milwaukee's only stand-up comedy club. After the comedy clubs of yesteryear closed down, there was a deficit, and the co-owners, my business partners, Matt Kempel and Caitlin McCarthy, you know, we were putting on shows for a long time, and we were always doing them during the week because we never wanted to interfere with the comedy clubs. We didn't want to compete. We didn't want to try to take their business. And we just thought, all right, during the week comedy. And then we started doing more shows on the weekend, and then those clubs closed. And we thought to ourselves, we need a dedicated spot. And so it was a 2 to 5 year plan. And then a few months later, after declaring 2 to 5 year plan, our friend said, I got a great space. And January of 2020, we opened the doors.
Oh no.
I always like telling people that to see if they can do the math.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, today is the 28th. 4 years ago, it would have been our first week closed. So we closed in mid March of 2020. We stayed closed for 4 months and then we reopened in July very, very seriously as far as, you know, there was a lot of businesses out there who wanted to open up. They wanted, you know, whether they wanted to adhere to COVID rules, cleanliness practices. We were cleaning everything. We were wiping everything down twice.
Yeah.
And we were doing shows to 12 people in the room spaced around. And
nice.
It was hard, but, you know, we've been working ever since. And we've been open. Yeah, we opened in January 2020. Took a well-deserved 4 month break early on, and then got right back to work.
Shortly after the grand opening.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, I'm tired. You know what? This is really. I painted a lot. I'm gonna take a break.
Let's just tap the brakes here. Let's not get crazy with her. You know, I applaud you for staying open though and adhering to the guidelines. Anything that people did then to keep things open by going the extra mile, it was great because it was such a weird time. So let's talk a little bit about that. You said that you're the only club there right now. Is it an every week club?
Yeah, we have shows every single week, Friday and Saturday. We have an open mic on Wednesday.
Oh, man.
We have some programming on Thursdays from time to time. And the goal is to eventually be open Wednesday through Saturday and then hopefully Sunday. But, you know, it's Milwaukee, it's a big city. It's a great city. I lived there for a long time, but I don't think it really recovered after the lockdown because the late night is not, I don't want to say it's vibrant, but people stay home. I mean, that's just it. I mean, people have, you know, they get done with work. I mean, you know, this, a late show on a Friday is not great to begin with because people are done with work. They've gone to dinner. They may have had some drinks and they're tired. So
Fridays are tough.
Right. Yeah, right now we do one show on Friday, two shows on Saturday. Sometimes we'll be, like, we have Michael Longfellow from SNL coming at the end of April.
Oh,
that's five shows. So, you know, we're just working with what we got. We make it work. We're selling out shows consistently now, and that's a great thing. And it's a great spot. You know, it's 80 seats. It's intimate. And I think the best thing that I love about it is that the compliments we get from the comedians themselves.
Yeah.
To, you know, it's an artist-driven room. It's an artist-run room. We want to see those comics too. And we make sure they feel welcome when they walk through the door. It's not just like, all right, green room that way to sell nachos. Ah. Yeah.
That is the voice of Greg Bach. He is the co-host of Matt and Air on Air here at Civic Media. And he is a comedian and owns a comedy club, The Laughing Tap, in Milwaukee. So you have to go check it out. When I was a stand-up in the 90s, the Comedy Cafe on Brady Street there, mm-hmm. was one of my favorite rooms to work in the country. And I worked all over the place. That they gave me 4 weeks a year. And then they ruined it by trying to headline me, which is no fun because that sweet spot is in the middle. And but
there's nothing better than a feature spot.
Oh, it's the greatest ever. 25 minutes. Good night. What is that spot? Like the last time I was in Milwaukee, I went by there. The sign was even still up. What's happening with that spot? And why did comedy go away? Is it because of COVID?
Well, so Comedy Cafe, for the listeners, was an institution in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I mean, it had been there for a very long time. It was right on the corner of basically where water turned into Brady.
Right.
And on the east side. And it was a great room. It had wonderful comics come through. My stand-up career in its infancy was going there and trying to get spots and being told no. And but then what happened was they moved from the east side to Old World 3rd Street, which actually I had a conversation with one of the people who worked there, and they said their revenue went up because of the location change because they had foot traffic. If you don't know Milwaukee, where they're at, it's not exactly the most like people-friendly area. It's not like, oh, bustling businesses. It was like them and a little mini mall and a Chinese restaurant. So,
and Giovanni's, right? Was like right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they moved and, you know, it was a beautiful room. It was a fun time. And they just 2018, they were done. They were just done. I don't know why. I don't. And then there was Joker's, which I loved Joker's, which is in the basement of Silk Exotic Dance Club. Number one exotic dance club 20 years in a row, Pete.
Oh, they never booked me, so I don't know what to tell you.
But that was a great room. They closed. They were the first club that actually were going to give me a headlining weekend, and I called the GM, and I said, all right, let's talk about Greg Bach headlining in 2019. And she goes, we turned into a live country music bar as of the first of the year.
That is such a stand-up story. That's so funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a deficit. There was no, I mean, we have comedy sports, which is improv. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And so now we wanted to have a club.
It's so funny because the Comedy Cafe, like I said, it truly was one of my favorite rooms in the country. And then I did work that downtown one on 3rd or wherever it was down there that you were just talking about. And that was so depressing. There was different owners and they were nice guys, but there was like 9 people there. I think I worked it in 2017 just to work it because I hadn't done stand-up and I missed it. And they booked me and I said, just let me middle and I'll be fine. It was so depressing, Greg. It's just like, and Milwaukee should have a great comedy club. So I applaud you and I'm so thrilled you have a great room there. So,
thank you very much.
But is that difficult when you're a comic too, but you also book comics and you run the club? Is it, what do you prefer and what's harder?
Well, I mean, they both have their ups and their downs. You know, working at the club, I'm anchored. You know, I'm not on the road and missing family.
Right.
But I'm also not on the road and doing comedy too. So I do miss doing stand up. I'm trying to do more this year and get on stage more because I still have jokes to tell.
Sure.
It's, you know, I wouldn't say I love one more than the other. I love them equally. But it is difficult because, you know, it's that age old thing is, you know, you're a stand up, you're part of the stand up crowd, you're part of the scene, and then you become a producer and you get a club. Now I'm management.
Right, right.
And the relationship is different and people are like, hey, Greg, how's it going? I'm like, tell me my last name. I'm not booking you. So, yeah, no, it's an interesting relationship to have with the scene. I mean, I love the comics. I love the Milwaukee comedy scene. It's very fun. It's a good place to cut your teeth.
Yeah.
And, but you know, I do miss the stage, and I'm trying to get more, stage time logged, because I'm still, like I said, I still have jokes to tell.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know if you know Tom Clark from Milwaukee.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so what a sweet boy.
Oh, he's great. So Tom, I book this fundraiser every year, once a year in Marinette for the local youth football club. And yeah. I get friends of mine that I have known, you know, for forever, either from Chicago or Milwaukee, or God willing, if they're in town in the Midwest, I try to book them. It's one night, one show a year. And I write down jokes throughout the year because I MC that. I do like 10 minutes. So I write down jokes all year, but I have nowhere to practice them. So I go up, it's like my own open mic once a year, and these poor people see me every year. So I try to have new stuff, but it's brutal. And anyway, Tom and his awesome wife, Stephanie, did the show this year, and he's nice. So funny. What a great comic he is.
He's just a nice guy. Both of them, I love them so much. Tom
very
is,
nice.
On and off stage, is just a lovely person. And I just want to, as a stand-up, Pete, I want to say thank you to you for being a host of a stand-up show where – when you walk in, you don't say to me, well, I'm hosting the show, I'm going to do 45 minutes up top. Because you do those shows where it's like, oh, you started a show because you don't get booked anywhere. And you headline the beginning and then you let us just get your scraps.
Do you know a comic named Eric O'Shea?
Eric O'Shea. The name sounds familiar.
All right. I'm going to tell you a funny Eric O'Shea story. Next.
Okay.
He's a Milwaukee comic. My guest is Greg Bach. We'll have more with Greg coming up next. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Because nothing will be the same. Just another night. It's all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk to you in the night, in the dream.
Hey, if you're in the Madison area next weekend, come and check out the Wisconsin Film Festival. I will be there like I am every year, introducing films, doing Q&As, and I don't know if I'm handing out awards this year. It might conflict with Nightlight, so we'll have to see about that, but it's a great film festival. Check it out. Tomorrow night on the show, Wendy Schneider will be here to talk about her film, which premieres there at the Barrymore Theater next Friday night. Always a good time at the Wisconsin Film Festival. My guest right now is Greg Bach. We're talking comedy. He is a Milwaukee comedian and a club owner, and he's the co-host of Matt and Aaron Air. I think he also does nails. He does some welding on the side. The guy is all over the place. A true Renaissance man. So, Greg, you were talking, this just made me think of a story. You said the guy that goes up and does 45 minutes to open the show, you just want to wring his neck. Eric O'Shea, who's a lovely guy, he's a great guy. For whatever reason, he and I did a gig at the University of Illinois Chicago like in 96. It was my anniversary. I just wanted to do the gig and get out of there. I don't know why this happened. Greg, Eric went up on stage and opened the show with like an hour. And we have dinner reservations and I got to do 45. Now I'm going to do less than the guy that went up in front of me. And I'm in the back of the room pointing at my watch, holding my hand up and like, get your butt off the stage. I was in flames.
Why would he do that?
To this day, I don't know. We laugh about it still on Facebook. And he laughs about how mad I was. And I'm like, well, dude, you know, I don't know what you were doing. But, he's probably told me over the years what got into him. And there was only like 15 people there. It's not like he was playing to 1,500. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's just, and I've done stuff like that too. You know, it's just a crazy racket. But tell us about some shows you got coming up there at the Laughing Tap.
Well, this weekend we've got Ian Abramson, who is one of the most unique stand-ups I've ever seen. He's very performance-based, you know, as far as like there's an art to what he's doing. There's a theme. He's actually going to be on the show tomorrow at 11:30. I'll be interviewing him.
Oh, fun.
He has got he and Nick Vatterott have the most unique Conan sets I've ever seen in my life.
Huh.
And I would love, I'll give you the basic idea. Ian puts a shock collar around his neck and gives a remote control to one of the audience members. And he says, when you don't like a joke, you hit the button. And it's fantastic.
I am hitting that button all the time. You know, I mean, you're tempting fate with that. That's so funny.
Oh, yeah. So Ian will be there this weekend. One show Friday, two shows Saturday. Like I said, Michael Longfellow is coming to town. He is a player on SNL. We actually just had a weekend update writer, Casey Shernima, here this past weekend. It was great. But, I mean, the shows we got coming up, Shane Torres, who is one of the best comics in the country, in my opinion,
really?
Coming through. And we're just going to have a blast. It's you know, I mean, do we get tired? We get tired. Is it a slog? Sometimes. But at the end of the day, I go to work and I sit on a chair for a couple hours and I get paid to laugh.
Right.
So, right. I mean, it's not, I'm not digging ditches, Pete.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You can't complain. So tell us about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Are you involved in that too? Or is that in your space?
Yeah, that's so.
I saw that on your website.
The Laughing Tap is part of what's called Milwaukee Comedy. That's the parent company. And then there is the Laughing Tap. Our Milwaukee Comedy remote shows, which happen all over the city, and then the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, which we are putting together. Actually, submissions are open right now. If you are a comic and you want to submit, go to mkcomedyfest.com, and we'll be pulling those submissions soon. And it's the 19th year, and we get together, we watch every video, we pick them, we slot them, and we give comics stage time in Milwaukee to get to know the city, to get to know other comics. And we have amazing headliners coming through. Last year we had Kyle Kinane, which was a huge, huge get for us. He's, you know, top three comics for all three of us. And we had him at the Pabst Theater for a nearly sold out show. That was so fun.
That is great.
Yeah, it's over. Someone's going to kill me for not remembering this, but it's going to be the first Tuesday of October through the following Sunday. And it's like the 4th through the 10th, I believe, of October. But we will have shows every day, and we'll have our headliner shows on the weekend, and we'll be revealing our lineups as we go along. But it's a really good time and really good ticket price. And it's just a way to celebrate the scene, to celebrate comedy, and have our friends come in from out of town, all over the world.
Totally. Listen, if you have guys you want to help promote, whatever, I love having comics. They're my favorite guests.
Absolutely.
So please send them my way. I'm happy to help you. I hope for your sake you remain the only game in town, because that's pretty cool.
Well, our nearest competition's in Brookfield, and that's the Improv. But
yeah.
But you know, hey, they do their thing. We're friends with them. We enjoy hanging out with them. But I mean, there really isn't another stand-up club in town, and we're happy about that, and we hope to keep it that way.
Absolutely.
But, no, we're having a good time.
I got about a minute left, Greg. What I do on this show mostly is talk about TV and movies. What are you watching?
Yeah.
What can you recommend? What are you binge watching? What are you cringe watching? What are you seeing in the theaters?
I'm going to get hate for this, but I am cringe watching The Sopranos for like the umpteenth time. I'm sitting there watching, like, these people are all trash. They're just terrible humans, but I still watch. Binge watching Elementary, which is America's answer to the TV show Sherlock.
Oh, really?
That was a fun show.
I don't know about that one.
It's a procedural starring Johnny Lee Miller. He plays Sherlock in modern times. Lucy Liu plays Joan Watson. They live in New York and they solve crimes. It's, you know,
very
it's
cool.
Not super. And then I would say of a new program, I would always suggest, if you have the Peacock app or you have Sci-Fi, Resident Alien with Alan Tudyk. It is an amazing sci-fi show, sci-fi comedy. It's some of the best writing. It's so, so good.
A lot of people have said that. I have to check that out. And I just cringe watched The Sopranos again recently too. And to me, it didn't hold up 100%, but we can have that conversation on another day. But,
absolutely.
Those are great suggestions, buddy. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming on tonight, Greg.
No problem, Pete. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm still in my really, really late 20s. So I appreciate that. have a great night. Thanks. That
you
is
too,
Greg Bach. Check out the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. The Laughing Tap, his comedy club. Look for Greg on stage as well. And listen to him every day as Jane Matinera's co-host with Matinera on air. That's Greg's a great guy. I was just on their show a couple weeks ago. It was so much fun. Tomorrow night on the show, Wendy Schneider will be here talking about her new film. And Todd Michaels will be here. Paranormal investigator Todd Michaels will be here. That will be fun. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.